Good morning. 3 weeks ago on Pentecost, we answered the question, is the Holy Spirit still relevant today? This morning, we're going to reflect upon the timeless truth of God's love and how it manifests itself still in our modern world. Now, in a world filled with unrest, disorder, and uncertainty, it is vital for us to understand and experience the boundless love of our Heavenly Father. As we open the scriptures, we'll begin to uncover the characteristics and expressions of God's love and discover how we can embody this love in our lives. The first truth is that the love of God is unconditional. It embraces us in the midst of our brokenness and sin. Romans 5:8 reveals that God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The modern world and the society that resides in it often tempts us to measure our worth by society standards, leaving us feeling unloved and unworthy, and we certainly know that comparison can breed dissatisfaction. There's always someone smarter, taller, whatever it may be, in our opinion, has more faith, an easier life, whatever that may be. So the world kind of tempts us to measure our worth by society standards and comparing ourselves. But God's love, it surpasses all human understanding and certainly all human standards. It is a love that relentlessly pursues us, even when we are at our worst. In sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, God demonstrated his unwavering love for humanity. And not just humanity as a whole, but also every single person in this world, including you, including me, everybody we've known or will know, and those we haven't. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for everyone. No matter what we have done or who we are, God's love remains constant. And the second truth is that God's love is marked by compassion. It reaches out to the hurting, to the marginalized, and the brokenhearted equally. Psalm 103:13 reminds us that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In our modern world, we witness countless individuals suffering from various forms of pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional or spiritual. But as followers of Christ, we are called to extend the same compassion that God has shown us. We must be willing to listen, empathize, and offer comfort to those who are hurting, just as our Heavenly Father does for us. And this love, the love of God, it has the power to transform lives. It's in the Apostle Paul's second letter to the early church in Corinth. So this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. He writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." We get so hung up on our worldly standards and limitations that say people cannot change, but people can change, just not on their own. And since creation, people have been searching for meaning and purpose. Wherever they can find this, and from anyone whose rationale seems to make sense or appeal to them, that's where we seek for our meaning and purpose. But your purpose and meaning will never be found there. You are created to long for a change that goes beyond superficial and temporary things. These, you know, temporary fixes. It is through the love of God that true transformation occurs. When we accept Christ as our Savior, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a new creation, freed from the bondage of sin and the worry and all that accompanies that. And you're given a purpose, a new purpose in life. And as ambassadors of God's love, we have the privilege to share this life-transforming love with others, helping them to find hope and find redemption. It makes sense, right? Most of this. But here's where it gets a little tougher for us. God's love knows no boundaries or divisions. It is again Paul's letter that shares God's perspective. This is from Galatians 3:28. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, this is not to say literally that these differences do not exist. We know they do. We know they do, that there are differences between people. It simply says that they are inconsequential to God's love for us, and therefore should be inconsequential to our love for one another. Read that passage again, Galatians 3:28, and insert whatever description you need. There is neither blank nor blank. Neither blank nor blank, right? White nor black. Tall nor short. Whatever it may be. It says, there is neither this nor that, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, society is marked by division and discrimination, and sometimes it even seems like it might even thrive on it to some degree. But the love of God stands as a unifying force. It transcends race and gender and social status and any other human distinction that we can come up with. As followers of Christ, we are called to break down barriers and embrace all people with the same love that God has shown us. We are to stand against injustice, to promote equality, and work towards creating a society that reflects the inclusive love of our Heavenly Father. And this is the difference between acceptance and affirmation. We can accept another person without affirming their choices or their lifestyle or what they've done. And likewise, they should do that for us. They should accept us without affirming some of the things that are contrary to God's will. And perhaps the most significant revelation is that God's love for us is not merely a concept or a sentiment. It is truly active and is truly evident. From 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Our faith is often measured and judged by others, and they do that based on our actions rather than our words. We are called to embody as God loves through both bold speech, and by that I mean confident speech, not necessarily inflammatory language, but a confident, bold speech and practical deeds of kindness and compassion and service. Whether it is feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, or advocating for the oppressed, our love should be evident and impactful. By doing so, we become vessels of God's love. Think of it as an ambassador of God's love, shining His light in the darkest corners of the world and those caught in it. We've taken a high-level look at God's love for us. We've also considered how we can reflect this to others. As natural as it would seem to just pay this great gift forward, we still struggle with loving and accepting others like God commands, don't we? And this is the way that he calls us to love and accept, because this is the way he does. He actually does it. So let's go a little deeper and explore how we can express God's love in our interactions with others and do this with actions and in truth as instructed. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be his ambassadors of love, extending grace, compassion, and kindness to all. And in a society that seems to promote or at least accept self-centeredness and division, our interactions with others provide an opportunity to demonstrate the transformative power of God's love. Romans 12, 9 through 10 explains that love must be sincere. We should hate what is evil and cling to what is good. We must be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above ourselves. And Scripture shares practical ways to express God's love in our daily lives. And it begins by cultivating a heart of love. Again, it's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 8. It declares, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And we must understand that love originates from God, for He's the very essence of love. As we abide in Him and grow in our relationship with Him, His love overflows from our hearts and impacts our interactions with others. We can't help it. It's the natural result of a healthy spiritual connection with the God of love. But this requires surrendering our selfish desires, seeking God's guidance, setting ourselves aside, and allowing His love to shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Expressing God's love in a practical way in this world involves reaching out to those in need. Jesus taught us the importance of caring for the hungry, thirsty, strangers, naked, sick, and in prison. And when we encounter someone in distress, we have an opportunity to reflect God's love through acts of compassion and generosity. By feeding the hungry, providing shelter, clothing the needy, visiting the sick, and offering support for those in prison, we demonstrate God's love in tangible ways. And I ask myself, have I taken every opportunity to do this? And I wish I liked my honest answer. Or have I unintentionally, unintentionally withheld God's kind of love by denying someone the help they need when it's within my power and responsibility to do something. Jesus taught his disciples, he spoke these words in Matthew 25, 35, and 36. He said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And do you remember the response? They said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger invite you in or needing clothes and clothing you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" Because these weren't literal things. And it said, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." It's Matthew 25, 37 through 40. Very, very powerful. And it's easy to take all these commandments literally, but we know from our own experience that there are serious needs and afflictions that may not be as readily apparent as the physical needs that we easily think of. Those who struggle emotionally or spiritually need your care just as much as someone who is physically ill or imprisoned. And God's hope for you is that you will take those opportunities and reach out to them as well. The Apostle Paul counseled the early Christians in Ephesus. This is Ephesians 4:32. He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." As you can see, expressing God's love involves practicing forgiveness and pursuing reconciliation. And it's both parts. It's not just forgiving, but also pursuing reconciliation. So we have an active role in this as well, of making peace and being at peace. In our interactions with others, conflicts, they'll arise, they will. And offenses, they will occur. It's likely that they will. However, as followers of Christ, we are called to respond with forgiveness and grace, just as God forgave us through the sacrifice of Jesus. By letting go of bitterness, extending grace, and seeking reconciliation, we demonstrate God's love in a way that reconciles and restores relationships. And don't think for a second that those around won't notice the kindness and generosity and grace you're showing. And all this often starts with a simple task of speaking encouraging words. From the wisdom of the book of Proverbs 16:24, it says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Our words, your words, have both the power to build up and the power to tear down. By intentionally using your words to uplift others, you create an atmosphere of love and acceptance and affirmation. Whether it's through a simple compliment, an encouraging note, or heartfelt affirmation, you can impact lives by expressing God's love through your speech. Now be warned that this is not to affirm bad behavior. Rather, it is to accept the person and affirm their value and God's love for them, often despite what they may be doing. So again, the purpose is to express an acceptance of the person and affirm their value in God's love. Expressing God's love involves embracing diversity and promoting inclusivity. Again, this is an action. It's not passive. We must actively embrace these differences. Our interactions with others should transcend societal divisions and cultural barriers, regardless of who or how they're determined. Just as God's love knows no boundaries, we are called to love and accept people from all walks of life. By valuing diversity, listening to different perspectives, and actively pursuing inclusivity, we reflect the heart of God and build a community that celebrates the richness of our differences. Regardless of the number of differences between us, we are united by some very, very important things. God's love for us, God's plan and that purpose he has for us, and that we have value. Every single one of us is united by these common things. It is absolutely true and absolutely important. And friends, the truth is that expressing God's love in our interactions with others is not always easy. It requires a conscious effort and a healthy dose of humility and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Yet, as we embody God's love, we participate in His redemptive work in the world. What a great partnership to have. Have you realized that? You have a partner role in God's work and Jesus' ongoing ministry, and is relying on you. So may we strive to embrace and live out the unconditional, compassionate, transforming, inclusive, and active love of our Heavenly Father. Let our lives become living testimonies of God's love, drawing others into a deeper relationship with Him. And may His love radiate through us, bringing healing, restoration, and hope to a world that is in desperate need. May we rise to the challenge and cultivate hearts of love, extend compassion to the needy of all kinds, practice forgiveness and reconciliation, speak encouraging words, practice compassion, empathy, and embrace diversity. In doing so, we become beacons of God's love, transforming lives, healing brokenness, and bringing hope in a world in need, a world that is quite frankly, it is in so desperate need of this. So let us go forth from this place and from this moment, empowered by the Holy Spirit to express God's love in every interaction, and so that we may be living testimonies of His immeasurable love and transformative grace. Let's make that our prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that differentiate us, but these things don't have to be things that divide us. Lord, You have made each one of us just as we are, with all of the similarities and with all of the diversity. And not only do You tell us to accept it, You tell us to celebrate it. As we bring our various gifts and our various forms into our life, we call You to bring the purpose of our life into our focus. Help us to be accepting and transformed by Your love that knows no bounds and limitations or anything like that. Help us to show the same love to others. Help them to recognize it in themselves. Lord, as always, I thank You for the message that You give us through Your word, the Bible, to those who teach it, and may we all hear and accept it and believe it in our heart of hearts, how truly valuable we are to You and how much You deeply love us. Lord, let us go forth, as I said, from this place, from this moment of hearing this message, empowered to be different and to make a difference. We lift all this up to You as we seek to partner in this important ministry. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.